You are Locked On Pirates, your daily podcast on the Pittsburgh Pirates, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Oh, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates, your Pittsburgh Pirates podcast of choice, and this is your weekly Locked On interview. Today, my guest from Cut 4 on MLB is Michael Clare. Michael, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, thanks for being on the show. So, we like to schedule a little bit in advance for this show, and story that caught my eye for you to have you on was you went out on a limb and wrote for Cut 4.
A little bit.
Pirate, the headline, verbatim, the Pirates may have stolen the offseason and could steal the NL Central too. So, I guess the first question should be, how does it feel to be solely responsible for this terrible week?
I would like to apologize to all Pirates fans everywhere. I do take the blame for this. It was great, like, watching over the weekend, because they're all, like, tight games, and I was like, come on, you gotta... I just wrote this article. I'm talking about this, next week. You got to squeeze out one win, and they go 11 innings and can't do it on Sunday. And it was like, you couldn't do me one favor. I think I looked it up, and according to Fangraphs WAR, which, flawed stat for small samples, but over the last week, the Pirates have the second worst offense in baseball. So, that's really kind of what carried them those first 2 weeks, and it was really surprising and really great and really fun, and then it has all just kind of come crashing down since then. But, there's still reason to hope. It's early. It's April.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. I mean, it's just 1 week, and they're still 12-10, yes, which is a decent start. Plenty of playoff teams have started off worse than that. Do you still feel that come September, Pirates could hang around and could be like, hey, I called that back in April?
I do. I really do. And part of it is not just the Pirates. I mean, part of it is that, I think the Cubs aren't as strong as we thought they were. The Cardinals are looking, really good. The Brewers, other than having a rotation, are a threat. But the fact of the matter is that the Central isn't this... when the Cubs won the World Series a couple of years ago, we thought, oh my God, is this going to be a team that wins 105 games every year and everybody else might as well just, look for those wild card spots? And that's not the case. And I do think, and this is the strength of the Pirates, and this is what their offseason was really, the strength of the offseason was the depth that they added. Cullen Moran has looked really rough. He has looked like a rookie in the last week. I think his OPS was around 900 at the start of the week, or maybe when I wrote the article, it sounded like 710 right now. And so those are things that are going to happen. But the fact of the matter is that, we saw David Freese playing at first base on Sunday. Well, before Cullen Moran, it was going to be Freese at third base every day. Or, Sean Rodriguez is now slotting in because of Josh Harrison. But before, without the added depth that came from the Gerrit Cole trade, then... were the Pirates going to have someone like Sean Rodriguez, being an everyday player from the outset, not because of an injury? And so I think that's the Pirates' strength. And I understand why everybody was upset by the trades. They wanted that, that big name, that giant prospect, rather than, the Gerrit Cole trade, I think, was my favorite of the two with McCutchen, because I believe in Joe Musgrove, I like Michael Feliz, and I like Cullen Moran. And that strengthened the team in multiple areas. And I think over 162 games, that's really going to shine. And that's why I think you can believe in this team. And if they do hang around, you can point to moves like that. And obviously, Corey Dickerson essentially being gifted to the team. They aren't sexy moves. They aren't the moves that everyone's going to, write epic poetry to. But those are the types of baseball moves that can keep a team competitive, and once a team stays competitive, especially the two wild cards, anything can happen.
I will admit, as a member of the Pittsburgh media, I don't want to say prod. I hang a carrot in front of the horse, you know, every time Gerrit Cole
yes.
goes out and pitches seven innings with 10 strikeouts or whatever. But there is such right. a thing as a mutually beneficial trade. And
right.
even though maybe the Astros get the better of it in 2018 or even 2019, I agree with what you're saying, that in the long haul between Moran, Feliz, and Musgrove, who we don't know yet, but, you know, had at least exciting stuff, this could still be a good long-term deal for the Pirates.
Gerrit Cole is... What's scaring me is, like a lot of people a couple seasons ago, I was like, oh my god, Ray Searidge is this amazing psychic. He is somehow just... He's turned pitchers' careers around. He can do no wrong. He's the greatest pitching coach in the history of the game. And I still love Ray Searidge. I think he does a great job, but the Pirates have a system that they make their pitchers work in, and if you look at the change in how Gerrit Cole's pitching, and again, it's a couple of starts, he could, you know, by the end of the year, his numbers could look exactly the same as last year, but he's throwing his slider more, he's throwing his curveball more, he's throwing his fastball less, and the Pirates love fastball, 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 fastball. So there is a part of me that's like, especially because the rotation has been a very promising part of the start, there is a part of me that wonders, if Pirates didn't have this very strict game plan that they applied to all of their pitchers, could they have unlocked more from Gerrit Cole? And in which case, maybe someone like Forrest Whitley does come back. Could that, you know, make someone like Chad Kuhl, who you don't think of someone like him, like having this amazing slider that has like wiffle ball movement, but he does. And it, you just wonder, could the system be better? Which is hard to say when you look at how it seemed like Ray Searidge and the system is how they had their most successful seasons a couple of years ago. But that seeing Gerrit Cole succeed in Houston with a different game plan is definitely giving me pause and reason to wonder if the team should have a more like individual approach with every starter.
That's funny because I wrote for a website out here pretty much the same thing with Chad Cole comparing him with Gerrit Cole. It's the exact same.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. Great minds think alike.
Yeah. Well, what can I say? Geniuses. We're on the genius wave. So
this is now the genius podcast on the Locked On Pirates network. But we talked about the division for a little bit earlier on.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the Cubs and how 2 years ago they did look like this absolute dynasty in the making. And now they... I mean, they still look like a perennial playoff team for the time being, but not a World Series guarantee anymore, it feels like. How right. much do you think it is, what the Pirates have done very good in this second phase of Neil Huntington's career, because this is basically his second team that he's trying to compete with, if not 2018, in the near future. He's built it around young pitching, while the Cubs have very famously not been able to grow their pitching, and they go out and get Yu Darvish or Tyler Chatwood or John Lester, which are good short-term moves, but in a few years from now, they're going to have a rotation full of mid-30-year-old guys who aren't in their primes anymore. So,
yeah,
I guess the question should be, how far in the future is, if it's not 2018, if you cursed the Pirates of winning the NL Central in 2018, when do you see maybe this pitching going in the Pirates' favor for no other reason than they're young and growing rather than being in their prime and declining now?
Yeah, that is, that is a real good question because, you know, a common saying is like there's no such thing as a pitching prospect. And anyone who's followed the Pirates can remember the Dave Littlefield era when every pitching prospect just absolutely blew up. But unfortunately, it seems like you can, for the most part, find scrap heap type hitters. Scrap heap's harsh, but you can find free agent hitters, you can acquire hitters a little bit easier than you can pitching. Now, yes, you're not going to have the world-changing type hitters. You know, Corey Dickerson, when he's hot, he looks great, but he's not always hot. But you can acquire average, above-average hitters cheaply, a little more than starters. You know, you look at, you know, Jake Arrieta, in a very strange free agent market, had to wait a long time to be signed, but he still earned far and above what the Pirates could pay. So, unfortunately, unless you know, something changes monetarily, it's just what the Pirates are going to have to deal with. I think for me, I am very high on the Pirates pitchers. That could be a personal problem because I kind of adore 3 and 4 starter types. That might be from watching Dave Littlefield era Pirates and being like, Josh Fogg, they're going to win a World Series off of Josh Fogg. So the concern is that even these young arms they have, and I will say, when I saw Mitch Keller, and I'm not a scout, I'm a terrible scout, but I did see him in the Arizona Fall League this year, and it was one of his worst performances. Just everything was hit. It was kind of softly, but everything was being put into play. I'm hoping, guessing, knocking on wood, that it was just he was throwing endless changeups, just trying to work on the pitch. My concern is just that other than Tyone, other than having a number of young arms, there aren't the high-ceiling arms that if you are going to build around pitching, which it's a matter of when, not if they break, that there's just not going to be enough, and it's just not going to be good enough, and the pitching is going to keep them around 75 wins-ish, but there still is that need to add on from somewhere, both in the lineup and in the rotation, and I don't know how to solve that.
All right, one more thing on this story, because I just remembered there is a poll at the end of what do you think, where will the Pirates finish? And I said at the beginning, I saw this as a 500 team, so I'm going to vote 81 and 81 is your 2,396th vote.
Okay. And,
don't worry, 60% of the people, population, said either first place postseason or wild card stress, so you're not alone, or you were a master of rhetoric, and they just went hook, line, and sinker with you.
Yeah. Oof. Now, I mean, you know, I at the start of the year, I was thinking 75 to 81, but, you know, you get that hot start out of the gate. I didn't think that the regression was going to be quite so swift. I guess we just have to wait for, I mean, my favorite player is Jose Osuna, just because he's nicknamed Pig, which is very, is just an interest I have in players being nicknamed Pig. So we just have to wait for Osuna to come up, and, you know, obviously that'll just solve any problems with the offense.
Well, this seems like a perfect transition for something you recently written. Speaking of Jose's and players with great nicknames, Joey Bats, former Pirate third baseman, is going to be coming back to the majors soon as a third baseman. And I'll admit, whenever I heard this, it's like, well, okay, I guess Atlanta's losing their dang mind, but
yeah,
you posted a nice little compilation of him, a lot with the Pirates at third base, but some with the Blue Jays also, of him making some web gems, and I don't know, I guess I am at the very least intrigued now.
Yeah, you know, start of the year, if you ask me to make the craziest predictions, there are a variety of things I could have said. I don't think any of them, you know, I would have said Jose Bautista quits baseball to start a, you know, fresh-pressed juice company before I'd see him being signed as a third baseman. I think that's the strange part. I could see him being a right fielder and, you know, oh, we'll get him some reps at third base. Because I think he's played at least a couple games there every year. I just don't think he has played even semi-regularly since 2011. It's weird, though, because, you know, the post I wrote, I looked through, and part of it could just be that, you know, the videos are older back then. There's just not as many, you know, videos from, you know, 2007, 2008. But he makes some nice plays, but he wasn't this amazing third baseman at the time. Before he turned into a great hitter, his value was he can play some, you know, he can play some outfield, he can play third base, you need him at second base, you can put him at second base. He's not amazing at any of the positions, but he can handle them. So the fact that at 38, and when his bat was in decline last year, is when he's moving back over to third. I know I'm excited for it. I mean, the Braves had an amazing start from Ryan Flaherty at third this year, which, again, something I don't think many people expected, especially after they picked him up after the Phillies released him towards the end of spring training. I love Jose Bautista. I'm excited to see it. I hope it works out. I hope he, you know, comes back and plays well. I don't have high hopes that he'll be an average third baseman, but if he can hold his own, you know, listen, I'm getting older. I have to change my age if I create myself an MLB The Show. So I'm all for 38-year-olds getting a new start in their career.
I'm trying to think of like a good pun for that fresh press. Best thing I could think of would be like headline from Blue Jay to OJ, but this is why I don't write for Cut 4.
Well. No, listen, that was good. I think that was great. Okay. I love it.
Don't encourage me.
I mean, listen, he could open that up in Toronto like this week, and I think it would sell amazingly. Everyone would flock to it.
Is it still snowing in Toronto, or?
You know, it's a good question. I'm traveling up there, I think, to see the Red Sox play the Blue Jays in a week or two. So knock on wood that if it is snowing there, it'll have stopped at least by May.
So I think while we're on the subject of nicknames, I've talked to Greg Brown, the Pirates announcer, he bestows most of the Pirates nicknames around here. And yes. I'll admit, I never knew about Pig for Jose Osuna. I've been around.
Yes.
Yeah, so... Where did you hear that? Where do you have this inside scoop of Pirates nicknames that I don't?
So this one came, I remember this one because I had not heard it. It's in Spanish. I wish I had it written down. It is from the baseball prospectus guide for this year in the little capsule. I'm looking to see. I don't have it by my desk. Otherwise, I'd flip to it because it's the translated version in English. So maybe that's why it didn't break out. I'm going to look like such an idiot if people flip to it and they're like, my God, that was satire. That was totally a joke. But assuming that I'm not a complete idiot, his nickname is Pig in Spanish, which as a fan of beefy boys everywhere, I love it.
See, this is why we need to bring in you're the new official Locked On nickname connoisseur. you're our inside source for nicknames from now on.
Well, I take that with pride. I'm going to introduce myself as that from now on. So, Alex, thank you very much. This is a great honor. I'll edit
it. She doesn't pay, but the honor alone is more than enough.
Listen, you know, I can feed my family on honor. That's what's important.
Hey, Michael, thanks again for being on the show. Where can we find you on the World Wide Web?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Michael S. Claire. No E on Claire. That's basically how I've introduced myself to everyone ever. And then, I'm at MLB.com's Cut 4. We got stuff there all day, every day. So, you know, be sure to come on over and check it out.
And for those who don't know Cut 4, it's not as Fangraphs or Baseball Prospectus. It's more Human Element than a lot of other places on the web.
How dare you? I wrote a gift list of 13 gifts today, and as far as I know, 13's a number, which makes it Fangraphs, in my opinion.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to apologize profusely whenever we hang up, but until then, thanks again for being on the show. This has been Alex Stumpf with your Locked On Interview of the Week.